You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're listening to the V Show Podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Yo, it's The Process, and I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Boxing Day, and have a nice new year. 2020 can't be as bad as 2019, right? Rip the drink.
Welcome back into the V Show, Hour 3. Alongside Mike the Process and Nick Valvano, I'm Jack Grossman. Thanks for joining us. Beautifully done there, Process, on your holiday thing.
You didn't swear. Enjoy. I'm proud of you.
I didn't have time. I didn't think we had enough time to bleep everything out, so I was like, whatever. Let's just do it.
Louisville and Kentucky play on Saturday. If you have any thoughts on that game, feel free to text in 437-968 or call in 267-9680. Of course, game starts at 3:45 on Saturday, which they do it every year, pretty much, where the game is always matched up against a good bowl game. Last year was matched up against the Cotton Bowl. They've had it against the Orange Bowl before, or always like a New Year's Six major bowl game, or against the NFL on like a Sunday afternoon. And this year they took it even another level. When I saw the game was December 28th, I was like, okay, they'll put it as a noon game. It'll be up against the Cotton Bowl. It's going to suck, but at least I'll be able to watch the college football playoff later. No, they couldn't even do that. They haven't started at 3:45. LSU, Oklahoma starts at 4. If people want Louisville and Kentucky to be viewed on the same plane as a Duke Carolina or an Ohio State Michigan football or just all these other big rivalries, you can't have the game scheduled up against the college football playoff. Do you know who's going to watch this basketball game outside of the state of Kentucky? Nobody.
No.
Nobody's going to watch it. Well, you're not going to watch it anyways. That's who you are. It's just, it happens every freaking year, and it's incredibly frustrating and annoying that it's going to be put in a time spot where no one's going to watch it. It's like, what? Who thought it was a good idea for them to play during the college football playoff? That person, whether it's a part of UofL, UK, or CBS, that person deserves to be fired.
I think it's I think it would be CBS's fault.
Yes,
there.
No. It's everyone's fault. It's CBS's fault for scheduling it during that time. It's Louisville and Kentucky's fault for scheduling it around the damn holidays every year.
That's fair.
If they wanted to move that game, whether it be the dream scenario would be Super Bowl Saturday in February, have it be like the lead in to the Super Bowl. But that's never going to happen because they, you know, refuse to play a non-conference game in February because that's so unheard of and stupid for whatever reason. Even though Louisville and Indiana did that for like 15 years back in the day, or move it earlier in the season, have it the same day as the Heisman ceremony.
I think
put it up, have it as like the prime slot is like 5 p.m. Louisville, Kentucky, leading into the Heisman ceremony. That it's when the Kentucky-Georgia Tech game was this year. There's no reason why you can't play Kentucky-Louisville at that time slot instead of Kentucky-freaking-Georgia Tech. Kentucky-Georgia Tech gets
one's rivalry. I can't say it. Rivalry week. Isn't it kind of like centered around like they wanted to be part?
This is not rivalry week, Nick. It's the freaking holidays and bowl season.
But I'm
you
saying,
do not know.
Wouldn't it, I'm saying,
that's in freaking February. They're not going to play the game, though, in February because Cal and Mag, yeah, I almost said Patino.
But I kind of think, I know they don't want to, but I think like that would be ideally. That would be the time. If you're going to say that this is one of the marquee matchups.
Yes, which I think.
Are there any other rivalry games that are kind of following suit, though, if the rivals aren't necessarily in the same conference?
Well, I mean.
That I'm trying to think, like, are there any other ones that maybe.
Cincinnati and Ohio State this year played the opening night of the season.
Right.
Which I really liked, but you can't do that because of the Champions Classic. That's
right.
Okay. Then most of them, I mean, like, Iowa State, I was just in the middle of December on a weeknight. But it's before the bowls really kick in.
Which one? Oh, Illinois, Missouri. That's right.
Man, this that studio mic, I never noticed. It really picks up.
Yeah, it does really pick up. So when people are swearing in the hallway, yeah, it usually kind of.
Hey, I know that's a pointed comment at me, but I don't take it back.
But it's not just you.
No, it was like that meeting a couple weeks ago. They were like, don't swear in the sales office. And I was like, I know this is pointed at me. You don't have to say it in general to everybody. I know you're talking about me.
Also, before we go any farther, Nick, is the Twitter poll up?
No. All right. The computer's back, though, so yes. it'll be
so
up there in a second.
So we're
going
to put that up.
So it'll be Lotkeys, are you team for members of the tribe?
Yes.
You know,
Team Applesauce. Well, anyone can vote.
I was about to say, it's like, come on, it's the holidays. They're supposed to be.
Team Applesauce or Team Sour Cream. But back to Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. I think just to put a head on the, or cap, I guess, on the, as my Christmas headband keeps falling off my head, that's what the jingles are. Lights up. By the way, it's reflecting off of the TV screen and hitting me right in the eye.
Nice.
And it kind of makes it look like I got pulled over by like a Santa cop or something like that because the lights are really, really bright. But I think it's just a reflection maybe of college basketball nationally. I mean, I always tell the story. I always shoehorn hockey when I can. Yeah. Sorry. January, I was in Minneapolis for a pond hockey tournament. And I wanted to see the SEC Big 12 Challenge because it was Kansas and UK. It was on one TV in the back room. Like here, it would be on every single TV. What was on the main TVs? Vikings playoff run. Yep.
In Minnesota, of course, the Vikings playoff.
It was Vikings and hockey. It was Vikings and hockey and a smidgen of, I think one of the TVs had like Gophers basketball, go Richard. But I was shocked by that. And I was like, hey, can we get that over here? And they were like, how about that one, like the smaller TV? And I was like, okay. But that blew me away because that was all we had talked about the whole week leading up.
Why if you're college basketball, you got to do a better job of putting your marquee games into places where there's not a lot of other viewing options. And you have a two-week window basically from the end of the college football regular season and the conference tournament games until the bowls kick in of, okay, that's your opportunity. That's when you should play your biggest games. Yet you have Louisville and Kentucky going up against LSU and Oklahoma. It's the biggest game, obviously, in the state all year, but it's one of the most heated rivalries in the game. It's something that draws people to it, but you're not going to draw any casual fans to Louisville and Kentucky when it's going on with the college football playoff.
Right, but speaking strictly as a complete outsider, I think the biggest problem college football has from a drawing standpoint... Yes, whatever, college basketball, is it sheer fact that the biggest draw in college basketball is a 64-team tournament that anybody could win? I think that's the problem. Nobody wants to put a stake in the regular season because I don't think people think the regular season all that matters all that much, which I don't think it does a ton. Does it?
No, but it doesn't help when you have your biggest games going up against the college football playoff.
Right, but they're going against the college football playoff, which is the... the marquee games, but people are invested in college football.
But there's a few games that the normal fan watches out of the college basketball season every year. Duke Carolina is the biggest one.
Because it gets the most press.
Yes.
What
I'm saying is Louisville and Kentucky wants to be viewed in the same light as Duke Carolina.
But they're not.
And a big reason I think they're not is because of when they play the game. And they play it in such an absolutely terrible spot
play it? That's the answer.
I would say my number one choice would be play it the day before the Super Bowl every year.
The day before the Super Bowl?
Yes. And let ESPN sat the Saturday before the Super Bowl every year. It would be similar to, I remember the first year Syracuse joined the ACC, Duke played in the Carrier Dome that week, the Saturday before the Super Bowl, and ESPN hyped it up as much as you will ever see them hype up a college basketball.
So they hyped it up
at basically like the same levels they were hyping Zion versus North Carolina.
So you think if they would hype like during Super Bowl week, like when football is at its absolute peak. The most views.
What else is happening on that Saturday night?
They're just not going to get the press, though. It's not going to get the plug because everybody's going to be focusing on football. The thing that everybody's going to be watching, everybody's going to be talking about, is the Super Bowl. If you put it the day before the Super Bowl, it's going to get no press. It's going to be like, so we got the Super Bowl and Super Bowl coverage, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And it's going to go, by the way, we got a little bit of college basketball on Saturday, but just a little bit.
All right,
of that.
Well, I would say. And maybe during the rivalry week.
If you're going to do it at all, do it after the Super Bowl. Yeah. Or do it, like, there's a small, finite sweet spot. Hell, I do it. I know you got the Champions Classic and all that, but I'd still do this kind of stuff closer to the beginning of the season when that dead zone.
If you're going to do it early in the season, you do it, as you're saying, the dead zone between the end of the college football season and the start of the Bulls.
I mean, there's a time where you got regular season football in, regular season college football in, you have. The World Series is wrapped up. You have hockey and NBA basketball just kicking off. There you go. When everything's
You don't do it at the start of the season, though, because you're still going up against college football and the NFL. You gotta
don't
get
do it,
it
on Sunday, then.
Hold on.
Or Saturday.
You got to get it after the college football season ends if you're not going to do it the first game of the year. And since Kentucky's already in the Champions Classic, you're not going to be able to do it the first game of the year. So I'm saying I think mid-December – like the day of the Army Navy game, around that time is when they got to do it because Louisville, Kentucky would outdraw press wise Army Navy. I would think.
I think it would draw more eyeballs, but at the same time, I think plenty of people.
I'm not saying it has to be at the same time. I mean, you could have it the day of the Army Navy game this year. The lead in was Oregon and Michigan, one of the best games of the season up to date. Why can't that be the Louisville-Kentucky game? That would be in a perfect spot to where there's nothing else going on during that time. The general public would watch that.
Do you think Army and Navy, because this is a big recruiting thing for Army and Navy, not from a football or athletic standpoint, from a human being.
Do you think
Army and Navy would be pissed off by that, though? You think they'd get pissed off by trying to be overshadowed by Louisville, Kentucky? No?
I mean, I don't see for them why it would be any different than Oregon and Michigan.
Because Louisville, Kentucky is actually a rivalry.
Also, so for years before Cal terminated that series, that date used to always be reserved for North Carolina and Kentucky, which is one of those few types of games that can draw the general public in as well. So I don't think that would really matter to them too much because they still get their game that people will watch and talk about, and that would be separate. My point is during the actual game, they need to play it when there's not major stuff going on. And that's why I say Super Bowl Saturday, because yes, you're right, everyone's going football crazy, but during the actual game, there is nothing going on.
No, during the actual game, I think there would be no press leading up to it. That would be the problem.
Yeah, but they need to play it in a spot where. Because if ESPN has the rights to Louisville and Kentucky, and they do when the game's in Louisville, they hype it up when they have a chance.
Compared to the Super Bowl and compared to when football ends, when does conference play begin? Like, compared to that?
Usually like around New Year's.
Around New Year's.
Is when the
not conference play. The conference tournaments.
Conference tournaments?
When do they all start?
March.
Okay, so you got a month right there then. Because Super Bowl is done by the
but
first Sunday
I,
of February.
I don't think... In a perfect world, I agree with you. Yes, that would be when I would want them to play the game. But because there's this insane thought that you can't play a non-conference game in the middle of conference season, then I don't think.
Well, who made that rule? Who's made that?
It's an unwritten rule.
Well, that's the stupidest unwritten rule. You're losing money then.
Thank you.
That's idiotic.
Thank you, process.
You're losing so much money then.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, look, it's like rivalry week. You don't have to. You could do like. College basketball needs some sort of like major marquee rivalry week thing. Why don't they? Just spread it out over a week. In the middle of conference play, who the hell cares? Because you're getting the most eyeballs going towards March, going toward the conference tournaments, going towards the round of 64 that you know everybody's going to watch. Do it then when everybody's into basketball. When football's done, nobody's worried about football. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's before free agency. Nobody gives a damn about baseball compared to basketball. Do it then. Make your own week. Do it.
I agree.
The ball is in your court, literally.
But assuming
you
that...
You sound like Shia LaBeouf right now.
Do it.
But assuming that doesn't happen because everyone has, you know, they're too afraid to take a chance on something like that.
You're losing yourself hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, probably not that much, but they're losing millions of dollars.
From a business standpoint, it just makes sense. No,
which is why it doesn't, on the same spectrum, that's how little sense it makes to play it when they're playing
it's
it.
It's hundreds of millions of dollars at the very minimum in advertising. It's just free advertising. You're not competing with anybody.
Like,
no
one's going to watch the game Saturday. I'm very intrigued to see how much lower the ratings are on Saturday compared to the annual.
Just because the NFL is taking over. It's over Saturday this
There's no – the highest rated Louisville-Kentucky game that there's been in the past decade. I believe Eric Crawford put these numbers out about a year ago, honestly. But one of the highest rated games was the Donovan Mitchell year for Louisville against the Fox, Monk, and Bam team, where ESPN played it on a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. before Christmas. And it was a lead-in to a crappy bowl game. I don't even remember what bowl it was. I think it was like the Holiday Bowl or something. Or the San Diego County Credit Union Bowl, whatever the heck they call it. But that was – ESPN promoted the heck out of it. They did a special game day appearance before the game. And it was a great game. And I think the other problem is playing it this early. Neither team is actually rounded into form, so the games suffer because of that. They're just not – they're not played nearly as well as they could be. But – and it got a lot of people to watch around the country because there wasn't a big thing going on at the same time.
Texter says we suck. Okay. That's I love you. I love that so much. God.
Any other good texts?
Somebody said it feels like the process is arguing with this illegitimate child. I don't know what that really means, but yeah, all right.
Apparently, I'm your illegitimate child.
Apparently, all right. Well, I mean, we're nothing alike.
Twitter poll is up, by the way, gentlemen. I hope I spell it. Lockies, is it Lat? K?
Yeah, it looks right.
Yes, right?
I'm not good at spelling, but that looks right.
Added hashtag shalom.
Yes.
Okay, Texture says, the issue this year is the game is on CBS. When U of L hosted, the game is on ESPN.
Well,
that
wasn't
a favorable lineup.
Well, you say that, but last year it was a 2 o'clock start on ESPN2 going up against the Cotton Bowl. That's better than this year, but it ain't much better. It isn't much better than that. It's that's about as bad as you can get. The problem is you can't have it on the same day as the college football playoff for the New Year's Six Bowls.
Another texter says, when has the NCAA done anything that makes sense?
Never.
Never. Never, ever. Also, this guy wants to know that, let's see, I got a Sedin Vancouver Canucks jersey for Christmas from a friend, and I know nothing of the sport. What's the best way to educate myself, Nick?
Nick?
They do a show if you have the NHL Network. I honest to God, watch NHL on the fly. It's the condensed games. And then maybe try to go to a game or two. Find a team. Just follow them. And see if you can see a game live. Honestly, that experience really just will kind of spur your inner fan fire, because hockey's a better game watching it live. But yeah, NHL on the fly, pick a team, start following it. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of coverage on ESPN, but if you get the NHL Network and watch that show, that'll give you a puncher's chance, and that'll kind of get you up to speed. And then those two things. And get NHL, the video game, because that is a consistently great game that sometimes gets overshadowed by Madden.
My team, the Nunavut Eskimos, are pretty dope. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, it's a great. But seriously, you'll get enthralled in that. You'll do a create a team, and you'll start learning about all the different players and all the salary caps and everything like that, and how much each player's worth. I honest to God think that's a really really great way to get into the game. And then Go play it yourself. See, join me out there. Join me out there in the beer leagues. Have a nice pint. Play some puck. Be a jolly good time. Had by all.
It's hitting allowed.
I'm really, really effing pissed off because I'm about to kill this computer.
We got another great text.
It finally, I think, is okay. But it's like that feeling after you get done vomiting.
You're wondering if it's going to last.
You're kind of nervous, if you're going to vomit some more, but you're kind of relieved that it's all out of you, but it's taken so much out of you, you're just miserable.
Your texter says, listening to Satterfield talk about his recruiting class is like making out with a chick that just got done eating sour cream on your Pringles. From Blue.
Where does that come from?
Blue sends the best text. He's not allowed to call the Diener Show anymore, but the text I read his texts, which they are always good, so I read them out loud when I can. But yes, that's a great text. We had to shoehorn that one in. Continue.
437-9680 is the text line, 267-9680 if you want to call in. I'm Jack Grossman alongside Mike the Process and Nick Valvano.
How many times can Nick say or ah in a sentence? Nick?
Well, I wanted to swear at him, but that's not anyways, just, that's not Christmas.
Just to kind
of no, I do say
it's not
a
Christmassy.
Lot. I do say a lot.
Yep. Just
probably,
to kind of wrap up
as many times as you say sorry during intercourse. How's that? Hey, yeah, you knowing? Boom.
I feel like Process never says sorry during intercourse.
No, not that wasn't that
not
was
me.
Not
no, no, no. Him. Somebody text, somebody on the text line says that. I'm reading the text line.
Thank you,
no.
Green. God, really?
No, yeah, I'm not making fun of Nick. Jeez. Go to hell.
No, I do say a lot. That's a bad habit, especially when I'm thinking.
I thought you were going to say it right there. It's just what I'm thinking. Anyways, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit more of the X's and O's of Louisville and Kentucky. You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. This is The V Show. I'm Jack Grossman alongside Mike the Process and Nick Valvano.
Hello. It was supposed to be holiday music there. Kind of forgot that.
That wasn't
sorry.
Holiday music.
No,
that's USS is yin yang. I'm sick of holiday music.
We're taking it to the top of the hour where the take will take over. I believe it's Ethan Moore and James Strebel filling in for Andy
summer school.
Today. A little summer school in the
winter break.
Yeah,
winter break.
There you go. Yes. Winter break. Yeah.
For those of you who are mad that me and Kareen are taking over, that we're not Pete Jaggers or Roundfather or Ethan Moore, I'm
you
sorry.
Just call him Pete Jaggers.
Yeah, Pete. I love Pete. Pete's great. Pete Jaggers is the man. When he rolls in, I'm Pete Jaggers. Yeah. No. When he fills a vlog, it's my favorite thing in the world.
And I thought you were gonna have another.
That's it. That's
all. What we got? He insulted everybody by calling them the wrong name except Ethan Moore.
I tried to rack my brain and go, what can I call Ethan?
You can call him Ethan Less instead of Ethan Moore.
Well, no, that's just stupid. That's terrible.
I thought you were insulting everybody. You're Grinchy.
I just insulted you.
All right.
Boom. There you go. How you doing?
Thanks, pal.
Anyways, we got to the top of the hour. Let's get into more of the Louisville Kentucky basketball game, other than just me being mad about.
Do
what?
We have to? I'm kidding.
Nick, I think you get that question.
Man.
Yes, yes.
He's trying to get coal in his stocking.
Yeah,
have you been hitting the eggnog?
I've been hitting the eggnog. No, this is just how I usually talk about things.
That's a good point. That's your baseline. Quick question, holiday question.
Yes.
Most overrated, underrated Christmas movie, Christmas song, Christmas food?
Underrated
both.
Christmas song is the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song.
Underrated, okay.
Yes. I got
which version? One, two, three, or four?
One he sang on SNL.
So one? He sang all four of them. There's four different versions.
That's true. The original one.
I heard the fourth one for the first time in an Arby's drive-thru over the weekend.
It's good.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yes.
It's good. It's very nice.
If I had to rank them, I think I would go 1-4-2-3.
I'd agree with that.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
God. I'm just watching the Eagles just score on Dallas and then drop balls, and it's great. My God.
I love that text message this morning. Guys, I had a bang energy. It's the first time in a long time. Just letting you know what you're effing in store for. Go Birds. My
and then,
God.
And then there's the Chester Cheetah gif of him breaking the glass.
After doing lines of cheetahs.
Yeah, that's why I played Rush this morning after the first break.
I was wondering why it was on there.
He was like, it ain't easy. He's like, there's no bleeping better drummer than Neil Peart. I was just shouting that at myself the entire morning. And I was like, it ain't easy being cheesy.
Is that why you also had Kickstart My Heart? Because you were going with the because
Drew last week was like, oh my God, I hate Christmas music. We need to play something like Motley Crue. And then so I was like, noted, Drew. We'll play some Motley Crue just for you. So when we came back in, I was like, this is for you, Double D.
I made a promo for him just out of nowhere. It felt like doing something nice. And also, I probably broke something, so I was trying to like smooth things over. So I made him a promo. It involved Dabo Sweeney and Kickstart My Heart. And those two went together like chocolate and peanut butter. It's pretty good. Anyway, back to the overrated, underrated real fast. Well, this is a palate cleanse.
I don't know. I overrated all of them. Underrated Christmas Will Break Your Heart by LCD Sound System. The only Christmas song I like because it's sad as all hell, but it's really good.
Wow. See, I knew he wouldn't disappoint. That was really good. All right. What about food?
Overrated?
I mean, the only holiday food I really eat is potato lockies.
Oh, no,
I'm
sorry.
Shared my opinions on that.
I bleeping hate figgy pudding. It's disgusting.
Have you actually had figgy pudding?
What is figgy pudding?
I don't know. But
so you haven't had it and you're hating on it. Wow, the sports radio is strong with
you. I don't like that. I don't like the song, so I automatically don't like the food.
Okay, fair, I guess.
And then underrated is ham, because ham is always underrated.
Ham's not good. Ham's overrated.
Oh, my God!
Whoa. I don't want to get you in trouble here, but I mean...
Why
are you weighing in on ham here?
Yeah, well, what the hell?
We both know I don't keep kosher. Okay. We all know I don't keep kosher.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, ham's just... It's not good. It's just not good.
What do you mean it's not good?
Oh,
my God.
Have you had, like, honey-baked ham?
Yes.
Honey-baked ham.
Honey-baked ham bangs.
The worst Thanksgiving ever was when, instead of doing two turkeys, my mom did one turkey and one ham.
But turkey's, you know, good for once a year, but it's dry. Ham is the superior deli meat.
No, corned beef is the superior deli
meat. No, corned beef is overrated. You stop right there.
Corned beef is fantastic.
No, get out. You don't like ham. Go to hell.
Yeah, you do lose a little bit of credibility with your hatred.
You lose
of ham,
a lot though. Of credibility.
But I mean, never, but you I've redeem it with ham, the corned
yes.
beef. So.
I've just never really liked ham. It's just not my thing.
Was it a texture thing? I can see it being a texture thing.
Yeah, it was probably a texture thing.
A texture thing?
Yeah.
Okay, what about other cold cuts?
Turkey's fine.
Speed round. Gabagool. Prosciutto.
Pastrami.
I like
pastrami.
It's expensive as all hell, but
pastrami.
I enjoy it.
Yes, pastrami's
pastrami
good.
Is the gold standard of
oh, man, it's
Strebel.
I love
Strebel. We were in Indy on Tuesday, and my brother...
Shoot a man, round daddy! Yes. He didn't hear me.
but my brother goes in saying, hey, it says he's going to get a Reuben. And he's but I only want half of it. And he's, like, debating if he's going to order a half or a whole or whatever.
I'm rolling my eyes, but then I forgot Shapiro's. That's the size of, like, a small car.
Okay, so he goes and he tries to order half. They're like, oh, well, you can't do that. You have to order a whole. So he goes, okay. He orders the whole, eats the whole thing. Then he goes, I think I'm going to order another half of a different sandwich.
Oh, God.
Like, Ethan, you only wanted half of one, and now you're debating
and they wolfed
sandwich
down,
and a half?
That's strong.
He ended up getting a slice of cheesecake instead.
Oh, that's the play. That's definitely the play. All right, movies.
Yeah, but ham is gross, but turkey is a garbage bird. Also, cold
cuts
are different.
Turkey's really only great for Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't know if this person wanted me to hang out with them. I don't know if I can hang out with somebody that doesn't like ham. What is a good bird? Pheasant? You go to hell, sir, texter.
Wait, I thought he was saying that he likes ham. He doesn't like
turkey. No, he said ham is gross, but turkey is a garbage bird
also.
Oh, he
hates both of them?
He doesn't like either. This idiot likes pheasant. I almost called him another word that would have been dumped immediately.
Yeah.
But no, you must like pheasant, sir, and I don't care for you.
Have you ever had pheasant?
No, but it seems like a nice quality, like, fancy person bird. You know what I mean?
Just think of this guy. He's got like a...
Pheasant.
He just has violins playing in
the
background.
Really, I'm just going to cook you some pigeon and be like, yeah, it's pheasant, even though it's a street bird. And he's going to like... The worm's going to rip your insides out.
Wow.
All right, we got about 20 minutes left. I do want to talk a little bit about the Louisville-Kentucky game.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
All right, fine.
Unlike you two, I'm not going to get another chance to do this.
You're always welcome back.
And yeah, you're always welcome, Kareem.
That's the only one that's being remotely professional right now.
Yeah. But I'm the only one that won't be able to be on the mic.
One
type of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, fine. Well, then you mic one it up.
All right. So. Yeah. You take the lead there, Kareem. I'm going to curse about pheasant some more.
You want to just do that for 15 more seconds?
No. You go ahead. We're good.
You're good.
You do you there.
Don't get him started on quail. Let me tell you.
Oh my God. No. Go ahead. Seriously, Kareem. Go ahead. Go to you.
It was Louisville, Kentucky on Saturday. I have viewed this as. I think Kentucky's going to win the game despite all the struggles they had. I just don't think Louisville matches up well with them at all. You look at how both teams match up, and Kentucky, for all the issues they've had, the one thing they've had that's been constant is that Ashton Higgins has been a baller. He's been really, really good.
Right.
With Louisville, my biggest worry continues to be the guard play of Darius Perry, Ryan McMahon, Fresh Kimball. They just haven't been good. I mean, McMahon aside from that, McMahon's been good, but I have worries him playing against Kentucky and their athletic guards. I worry about where he fits into this game. Like if Ryan McMahon plays 30 minutes, as great as he shot the ball and as well as he's played against a lot of lesser teams, I don't trust him to guard anyone on the other end of the ball.
So you think this game is going to be, not to cut you off, but because the story going into the season was it's going to be basically a battle between Louisville has the big man advantage in the front court, and Kentucky has the back court advantage, because there was a whole lot of question
and
marks.
I still agree with that, but
I still do too. So, but you're saying though, now you're saying that okay, that's all well and good. That's still the case. But this game's going to be decided more. Kentucky has more of the advantage in the backcourt than Louisville
because
does in the
frontcourt. I think Kentucky can do a lot of the same things that Texas Tech did, and that's overplaying passing lanes, making it tough to initiate offense, and being able to recover on post feeds on the back end. To where the two things that have really killed Kentucky, I mean, other than the Ohio State game's a little bit different because Ohio State's just better than Kentucky.
Right.
That's not really a slight on Kentucky. That's just Ohio State's one of the best basketball teams in the country, and they're really good. But if you look at the Evansville and the Utah games, and even the Ohio State game too, it's beating guards not named Ashton Hagans off the dribble, getting switches and taking Nate Sestina to work.
Right.
And basically breaking people down one-on-one, either for layups or kicking out for three-pointers. What is Louisville's biggest weakness offensively? The fact that they don't have anyone outside of Jordan Wara that can break people down one-on-one and be able to drive against players. So for me, it's just the formula to beat Kentucky. Louisville can't execute that because I don't trust Darius Barry, Ryan McMahon, and Fresh Kimball to be able to do it.
But I do kind of think that, and I agree with you, when it comes to having a go-to guy, it's really Jordan and then a bunch of people. At least in terms of one-on-one. But I do kind of think that in terms of X factors, I mean, Sutton's been playing really well.
I love Dwayne Sutton more than anyone. I went to high school with him.
Well, he's putting up, we saw this last year. He kind of went invisible later on in the season. But, I mean, putting up just, those second chance points and everything. I mean, he galvanized the UofL team. I mean, Miami Ohio was sticking around. Until I think Dwayne Sutton kind of orchestrated there was a run. He had 6 of 8 points, and I think two of them were second chance points. Just gritty things, and he's an underrated shooter and everything. But I'm not saying that he's the type of guy that can beat them one on one. I don't think he is. But I think he adds. We're talking X factors here. I do think that maybe he's someone that can be. I want to get your thoughts on this. And it was the story that I sent you because Kentucky has been exposed when they've been able to have set up matchups that don't involve Ashton Hagans, who's an elite defender. But their lack of shooting and everything, that story I sent you, it was really I'll pull up the source of it. But
it's from Hoops Insights.
Thank you. Hoops Insights. The idea that their 3-point shooting is bad. And that might
relate and it hurts to, them in other areas.
It hurts their defense doesn't get set.
That's what I wanted to point out from that article.
And it wasn't just fast breaks because you would think that it clangs off. You get an odd man rush going the other way. It wasn't always that stat. It was actually their defensive efficiency just went dramatically down. I need to pull up the exact stats, but that really was just a bit eye opening.
Yeah, it really is, and. But again, the bigger issue is when Kentucky misses a three-pointer and they struggle for the next five possessions, as that article breaks down, the issue, though, is more of guys not playing good individual defense and being beat one-on-one.
Right.
By players that can create their own shot. And Louisville just doesn't have enough of those guys for me that, again, can take advantage of that weakness. Because as much as I love Dwayne Sutton and as many good things he does, you're not going to give him the ball against a Nate Sestina because, let's face it, Nate Sestina is not going to be matched up on Jordan Wara. So they're going to either have to put him on Sutton or Enoch. I would think you would put Richards or Montgomery, whichever big he's paired with at the time, on Enoch. Put a Keon Brooks or someone like that on Wara, or maybe a Maxey even, and then put Sestina on Dwayne Sutton. That's the matchup where Sutton has to be able to beat his guy one-on-one. But Dwayne Sutton, as much as he does good for Louisville, as much as I personally love Dwayne Sutton, your dad always says he's the captain of the fan club. Well, he's the captain. Bob, give me the captain. I'm the president. But
Is there
creating his own shot is not one of his strengths.
No, yeah. Totally. He's a gritty guy. He's a plumber, as we would call him in hockey. He gets a couple points, but they're not usually pretty ones. He mucks it up in the corner, and I mean that's exactly what he does. He does, he'll do the dirty work and get 15 rebounds like he did the other night. But Patty and your boy Pete brought this up,
and
we kind of touched on it last year on the producers a little bit when the teams were finding their act. And this is right around the time when they're supposed to find their act. I forgot who wrote it, but Pops referenced it. It's like January like 11th or whatever, after like 13 games or something. Teams are kind of supposed to know, okay, this is what we're going to go with. Like this is who we are. We know who we are at this point, and now we just have to work with what we have. There's tinkering. There's no creating at that point. So this is kind of the point where we see what these teams are actually made of. We're not quite there. This is, I think, going to be a major litmus test. But last year, we were like, okay, so U of L is best when the offense flows through Jordan. And the difference, though, is that Patty brought this up. There's been a lot more. I mean, you saw it last year. When they were at their worst, I think of the Duke game. With the press, where there was no movement.
When Louisville's been at their worst, and you can say this last year and this year, when Louisville's been at their worst offensively under Chris Mack, it's been when they're facing a defense that either in the half court or the full court is pressuring them and mm-hmm. making it hard for them to run their offense.
Right.
And a prime example of that, you bring up the Duke game, the Florida State game that they blew is another mm-hmm. example, the North Carolina game in the Yum Center is another example, and the Kentucky game last year was really the first example we saw of someone doing that.
Right.
And Kentucky, for all the issues that they've had, that's still the type of style of defense they play on the perimeter, and it's can Louisville find – Texas Tech, obviously, this year is the big example.
Right.
Of can Louisville figure out a way to run offense when they get taken out of their sets? And in the Chris Mack era, with this group of guys that we've had, as we've been watching, they haven't been able to do that. And for me
– they have been better off the ball, though. There has been more of that this year,
I feel like – obviously, it's simple to say just one small little thing, but because they're going to be overplaying passing lanes, backdoor cuts are going to be open. And they got to take advantage of that because that's something they didn't really do against Texas Tech. And it's a type of thing where people overplay passing lanes. There's ways to kind of counteract that, but Louisville just seems so stunned anytime they can't get their base motion offense going that it just kind of – I almost said a bad word there. It almost kind of just screws them over to where – they just can't get out of their own way, and then they just end up turning the ball over most of the time.
Right.
To be honest, and if you look at Kentucky, with all the issues they've had, the pretty much the only way they win this game is by forcing turnovers, getting out in transition, so they don't have to run half-court offense themselves. Louisville's the type of team with their guards to where that can happen.
Are they good?
To where it's a really weird dichotomy because Louisville is the more talented team.
Right.
Louisville is easily the higher-ranked team. I think there's something like 16 spots out of Kentucky in the polls. Louisville's going to be favored to win. Louisville probably should win, even though it's in Rupp Arena. However, I just don't like the matchup.
Mm. Yeah, and also, I do kind of wonder, there's always the lingering. I mean, there has been there's been no trash talk amongst the fan base or anything. There's always just the, screw this up?
I got a stat for you, Nick.
Hmm?
Since 2000... Louisville has only beaten Kentucky in Rupp twice. Louisville has more NCAA tournament wins this millennium in Rupp Arena than they do wins over Kentucky.
That's crazy.
They have three NCAA tournament wins, one coming in 2006, 2007.
Did you send that to me? I feel like I told Dad that on We Want to Know Wednesday or something.
I might have sent that to you.
We Want to Know.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, but they got 1-0, 6-0, 7, then they lost to Texas A&M in the round of 32, then they won the two on the way, which I guess technically didn't count anymore, on the way to the winning the title in 2013. So Louisville, three wins in the NCAA tournament in Rupp Arena, two wins in the last two decades against Kentucky.
And which one? What?
It was 2003, 2004, and 2008, 2009. Or 2007, 2008 were the two seasons.
I thought they did it earlier than that. I thought they did it like 2002,
in 2003, 2004.
It was that
one? Patino's third year because it was when
Kentucky was one.
Yeah, Kentucky was number one.
Yeah.
It was Francisco Garcia and Tyquan Dean's sophomore year.
Right. Because I remember reading the article. Dickie V wrote something in ESPN Magazine saying, like, that was, like, his pick. Like, you don't take take care of, like, because did they beat Florida that year too?
They also beat Florida. Louisville beat two number ones in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Because Dickie V was super high on them.
Yeah, and then the other year was the 07-08 team that lost to Tyler Hansbrough, North Carolina, in the Elite Eight. They beat Kentucky and dropping Billy Gillespie second year. Only two instances in the last 2 decades.
I do think, like, and granted, I don't know what it was about Coach Pitino. I mean, Hall of Fame coach can't deny that.
I don't think the tightness thing came into play until Calipari became that coach.
I agree.
Because if you looked at Pitino versus Tubby and versus Gillespie.
Right. It wasn't until Cal got there.
He was roughly 500. Maybe even a game over 500.
It seemed like they were shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And the shooting would go ice cold. They couldn't get a rebound. There'd be some dumb fouls, whatever. They had the malokey. And it was just. It was really bad, and I don't know how much of that. I don't know what went on behind closed doors. I do wonder if there was always that elephant in the room come rivalry time where they don't talk about, they didn't really address it. There was almost, instead of embracing the rivalry, there was this idea of just pushing it to the side, and then because of that, it just seemed that Louisville would shoot themselves in the foot and squeeze the ball too tight, whatever. With Chris Mack, I do kind of wonder. I just see the way that it went with Xavier and Cincinnati, and that rivalry was every bit as ugly on the court.
This one is off
the court. I mean, minus the Swapshire incident with Boogie Cousins, I can't really think of too many instances on the court where, like, stupidity happened.
So what you're saying is we need more fights.
I don't know. You know, occasionally just drop the mitts, get the energy up a little bit. But I do kind of wonder if the culture with Mac, I'm not saying like there'll be that fight mentality, but it'll be more of a, hey, let's embrace this rivalry as opposed to just, hey, let's just treat it as another game when it's not another game. It's, you know, it's the rivalry. It's It's arguably the best college basketball rivalry in the country that you get to be a part of. I mean, maybe I'm not saying that Coach Pitino wasn't getting the guys excited.
It wasn't that Pitino didn't embrace it. It was that he got so nervous about it.
I don't think they
pushed it to the side. I think he overemphasized it.
Maybe.
Instead of like Calipari always says it's basketball, it's supposed to be fun type of thing, and that's kind of what it seems like Chris Mack takes. With Pitino, it was almost like the Kentucky fan life or death mentality with it, when it's okay for the fans to have it, but for Pitino and the coach, it kind of rubs the players off the wrong way.
Yeah, maybe. There just seemed to be, like you said, maybe he was taking it so serious that it was like, it's so serious we can't address it or embrace it. And I do kind of wonder how. I mean, last year didn't go great, but
I think it had more to do with Kentucky than it did Louisville.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because Kentucky, similar to this year, honestly, had the pieces to where they matched up really well with Louisville, and Louisville did not match up well with them. And I think that's one of Louisville's biggest issues, is that it's just a bad matchup for them, and it's, can they overcome a bad matchup?
Well, I mean, can they? We only have a minute left. It's a great point you raise about how the teams that have been able to beat UK are ones that can, like, or, sorry. No, well, yeah, no, no, no. The ones that can beat UK are the ones that embrace the, the, I don't want to say ISO, but it works on two folds.
It's the teams that beat UK are ISO, are being able to beat people off the dribble, and the teams that beat U of L are pressure-oriented in the half court, make it hard to initiate offense. Louisville struggles with that, and Louisville can't take advantage of UK's weakness.
Yeah,
and because of those two things, I think UK wins the game Saturday.
I do wonder, though, I think that I'm not freaking out about their shooting woes. I mean, we saw Maxey pulling up from half court at MSG. And I'm not saying he's just one player. I mean, I don't know what the heck's going on with Johnny Juzang when he was supposed to be the second coming from behind the arc, and he can't. I mean, he shoots like I do. But, I mean, there's guys that can hit. Sestina, who'd have thunk that they were going to be relying on him from behind the arc as much as they are? I just wonder, though. I mean, it's a couple days away. U of L has a long downtime there. I do wonder if that's going to play into it. But UK, Cal's giving them 4 days off, which I think is the right thing to do. But I wonder how much
we didn't get to it, but Cal gave a little subtle jab at Patino.
Did he really comment?
Yeah, he said the teams that we always played right after Christmas that didn't have the time off were always looked overworked and tired. And then when you think about it, they always played Louisville.
That's a good point. I did not catch that. That's a good point there. But I just wonder if those shooting woes, if they can really exploit in the front court Sestina, because he's not a defensive liability, but he's certainly not.
In some ways, he is a defensive liability.
If they switch him, yeah. But I'm saying going up against Enoch,
Enoch. It's not 1,000%.
But I'm saying I don't know necessarily a liability to me is I think like.
But the things DJ Carton did to Cena, I'll be quick here because I know we're running up against the top of the hour. Of DJ Carton repeatedly in that Ohio State game, whether it be the first half he pulled a step back three against him, or the dagger of the game was him getting a switch, beating him off the dribble, and hitting a floater.
Yes. I played that soundbite earlier.
Darius Perry, Fresh Kimball, Ryan McMahon, David Johnson. David Johnson maybe, but he doesn't get enough minutes where I could really see that. Those first three guards aren't doing that. And that's what you need to be able to do to beat Kentucky. I got the Cats winning, and I got it in a low-scoring game. You guys probably don't want to pick now since you'll be on air later in the week. I'd probably go Kentucky 64-56, something like that.
This is going to change, definitely, but I'm probably taking UK 62-57.
Yeah. Something really close. It'll be a close game, but it'll be a low-scoring game. Defensive battle, typical for what we see for Louisville and Kentucky. That's all we got for today. Thanks so much for tuning in to the V Show. For Nick Valvano and Mike the Process, I'm Jack Grossman. Stay tuned on ESPN 680, 105.7, The Take, Winter Break Edition with Ethan Moore and James Schriebel coming up next. Thanks for tuning in. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa.
There we go.
Appreciate
it. Happy Festivus.
Yeah, happy Festivus. Nick, thanks for letting me come here and wreck the show for a few hours. And we'll catch you next time on the beach.
Go Eagles.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.